Well, first of all, as he said, this is Tony, and Stephen Mead has called him the wonder dog in training, because I think most of you remember my boy, Casey, who was the wonder dog. Now, I was talked into doing this by Eric Johnson.
He was con.
And he said, I'm not a public speaker. He said, don't worry, you'll do fine. Then I found out, who did I have to follow from last week but his wife? I'm in trouble. Now, when you get the urge to run out the door and go home, or you start to fall asleep, don't blame me, blame him. Now, the subject, of course, is humane treatment for animals. And that's something that I have been pretty deep into for quite a while. You know, Casey was from a puppy mill, and when he got out, he weighed 28 pounds. His sister, Bonnie, weighed 26. That's her picture that's going through the church right now. At 26 pounds, you look, you can see every bone in her body through her skin. This is the way they're treated. They're starved because food costs money. Now, when there was a lot of work to get Proposition B passed, there was honored, trusted member of the community, a veterinarian, who happens to own three puppy mills, who was on the radio telling what a terrible thing it would be to pass this and have humane treatment for animals. He said the reason was they're very well treated already. He said, and we would put a Missouri corporation out of business, Purina Farms, if they weren't buying food from them. Well, I don't think they buy food from Purina Farms to start with. And you can see by Bonnie's picture about how much they would spend if they did. And Purina Farms is not a Missouri corporation. It's a European company. Those are the kind of truths they were telling to prevent this proposition from passing. And it didn't make me happy. Didn't make Casey happy either. Let's see. Casey and his sister Bonnie Brown. By the way, she now has a wonderful home in California. And she has filled out and until last year, she was owned by a hoarder. And the treatment was almost as bad as the other 7.5 years in the puppy mill. The TV stations on their news and the newspapers do not put the worst of the news in front of you. They're probably afraid people would throw up in their homes if they did. But I don't believe that until the people know what is going on with animals, anything will be done about it. So when I found this church and I discovered the principles of it, which included taking care of our animal friends as well as humans, I knew I'd found the place where I belonged. Now, I assume all of you have seen Bonnie's pictures by now. I'll give you a good idea. But here's Tony. People talked me into getting another dog, even though I didn't think I should, because in 2 months I'm going to enter my 80th year, and it's a little late to start going through all that work to get another dog to where he could be a therapy dog. So some friends talked me into getting one that was already trained. So I got Tony. He's 5 years old. He's a retired champion show dog. Boy, here's one that's trained to the hilt. Did I get a surprise? I didn't know show dogs were very often abused almost as much as puppy mill dogs. I've since learned that Tony's life has been spent in his crate with his trainer being trained, are in a show where he was not allowed to socialize with the other dogs or humans. And you know, dogs pick up what we're thinking, what we feel. They do it much better than humans. And he evidently picked up from that handler that all the other dogs and people there were the enemy. And he is terrified of humans and dogs, which to me is very sad. Well, he is getting over it. He's getting to where he's pretty much fine with humans, and he's about halfway through it with dogs. He's starting to accept dogs now. So as Stephen Mead said, he's going to be Tony the Wonder Dog in training. Now, let me tell you one quick story about Tony. My last wife, I use the word last, when Casey was lost in the woods and I was trying to get him, she said to me, big mistake, she said, "Just leave him go. He's only a dumb animal." I don't miss her at all. But believe me, they are not dumb. And research done because of quantum physics has proven that. And Tony, since he was very much starved when I got him, the woman I got him from said, "Don't put weight on him, he's perfect." And he was almost as thin as Bonnie is in those pictures. So I didn't pay much attention to her. I got him on his way up. But he still does not like to eat. He is not food motivated. So I have to con him, I learned a little bit from Eric, into eating. And one of the ways, when nothing else works, is if I put some of those kibbles with that beef gravy on them in my hand, he will usually eat them out of my hand. Yesterday, he did not want to eat. So I got a handful of icky, sticky kibbles in my hand. He walked over, he took one out of my hand, bit it in half, dropped half of it on the floor, ate the other half, and then just stared at me. I think I heard him say, "Did you get the message, old man?" They're really dumb animals. Greyhounds. I am not a gambling man, so I don't know much about races. But I have a friend who spent 18 years rescuing and fostering greyhounds. She has a two-bedroom home, one of those built right after World War II. And at this time, it's she, her husband, and seven greyhounds in that house. And I asked her some of the ways they were abused. And she told me a few of them. One of them is, if they don't win, they are either shot, clubbed to death, and some of them have been turned loose in the woods with the racing muzzle still on them. So even if they found food, they couldn't eat it. Think about that one for a minute. She told me a few other things, but I thought that was enough. Race horses. I don't go to the races either. And there is a chiropractor in Belleville who's certified to treat animals. And quite a few years ago, she told me that she worked at Fairmount Park Racetrack. She said, and she could not stand the way those animals were treated. And that was evidently a very monetarily rewarding job. She walked off of it, said she just could not take it anymore. Well, I couldn't get a hold of her. I tried, so I called the executive director of the Missouri Alliance for Animal Legislation, and I asked him if he knew anything about horses being mistreated. And his question to me was, "You live in Illinois, don't you?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, well, that is probably the worst state in the union for racehorses. He said, the racetracks put a lot of money in the state's coffers, so they don't want anything that will hurt the racetracks. Now, they used to have a testing lab that did all the testing for whatever in the racehorses. Well, everything they turn into the state disappeared. Nothing was ever done about it. So they started raising a big ruckus around the state. And their reward was the state canceled their contract. They now have the testing done by the University of Illinois. Big surprise. Guess where the University of Illinois gets its money? There has been no report on any of the testing since the University of Illinois started doing it. Well, this, Eric was right about one thing, that this is a subject I am very passionate about. And it's only been, 8 years that I've been involved in this. But it has gotten to the point where it is running my life, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And I hope at least some of you will join with me and the people that are fighting this battle to get something done about it. And now I'll let you off the hook.